taxpayers rescued the banks. Did we get enough in return?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. When the government bailed out the banks, part of the promise was if they started making money again, taxpayers would share in the bank's profits. Well, this morning, a congressional oversight panel says so far, when it comes to some of the smaller banks anyway, taxpayers have not seen as much profit as they could have. The oversight panel is headed by Elizabeth Warren of Harvard Law School. She joins us now. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
Okay, so keeping this basic, as part of the bailout, the government received bank shares called warrants. And when the banks pay back their bailout money, they get to buy back those warrants. And whether taxpayers make any money on that deal depends on how the government sets the price. Your panel has concluded that so far the Treasury Department is selling those warrants too cheaply and taxpayers are losing out, right?
That's right.
Your panel has said that if the government follows this model with the huge banks, the J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, the taxpayers could lose $2 billion. Why would the Treasury leave so much taxpayer money on the table?
Well, our job in the oversight panel is basically to make sure that they don't leave money on the table. But we also acknowledge that there are competing policy demands. And, you know, when you try to get out fast, that may change the price. The valuation process, I want to be clear, you know, it's not an exact science. Nonetheless, it is important to pay attention to the development of a fair market value and at least aim in that direction.
So you've released this report this morning. Now what happens with it?
Well, now Treasury, having made the decision to turn loose of these 10 large banks, continues the business of negotiating out the price that these banks will have to pay for the warrants in order to be able to get out of the TARP system. And whatever happens there will determine how much of the upside the American taxpayer gets for the rescue that it gave to at least some of the biggest financial institutions who at least seem to be doing better right now.
Harvard Law Professor Elizabeth Warren heads the Congressional Oversight Panel monitoring the Federal Bank Rescue Program. Professor, thank you.
Thank you.
Bank stocks were strong yesterday on Wall Street. Let's do the rest of the numbers. The S&P 500 and NASDAQ gained a third of a percent yesterday. The Dow was almost flat, up 4 points at 8,183. Today, Asian stocks were mixed, and European stocks this morning are down less than a percent. When General Motors CEO Fritz Henderson holds a news conference this morning in Detroit, he's expected to announce the company's officially out of bankruptcy today. That was fast and financed by the government. He'll also describe the company's plan to someday make money again. The federal government is also helping automakers with a new so-called cash for clunkers law, the one that gives you an incentive to trade in your old car for something more fuel efficient. So do car dealers actually think that law is going to help? Reporter Sally Herships wanted to know.
Brian Benstock runs a Honda dealership in New York. He gives a thumbs down to the government's bailout of GM.
They didn't save a job. They didn't sell a car. They didn't save a dealer. They didn't save GM.
But he gives a thumbs up to the new Cash for Clunkers plan. Hundreds of dealers have closed over the last 18 months. Benstock sees this plan as a kind of stimulus for the entire industry.
Because dealers are spending additional money for advertising. Dealers are getting direct mail campaigns prepared. We're making arrangements with the salvage companies to take these other cars from us.
But not everyone's convinced Cash for Clunkers will be a runaway success. Cliff Banks works for Ward's Dealer Business, a magazine for car dealers.
One of the questions that some experts have and some dealers have is whether the customers driving the clunkers will be able to get financed by the banks.
Like so much of the rest of the economy, whether Cash for Clunkers works will depend on whether lenders can get on board. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com.
President Obama wraps up G8 meetings in Italy today and then heads to Ghana for his first presidential visit to sub-Saharan Africa. He could have chosen a different country. South Africa is that continent's biggest economy. Nigeria is a major oil supplier to the U.S. And then, of course, there's Kenya, where his father was born. Reporter Gretchen Wilson explains why Obama chose Ghana and what it signals about his approach to Africa and the developing world.
Ghana's not an economic powerhouse. GDP of the former British colony barely tops $17 billion. But the White House calls the country one of our most trusted partners in sub-Saharan Africa. That's because of Ghana's sound governance. Ross Herbert is with the South African Institute of International Affairs.
It went through many years of coups and counter-coups and instability, and it seems to have, in recent years, really learned some of those hard lessons about what not to do.
In last year's presidential election, opposition leader John Atta Mills beat incumbent John Kufuor by just a few thousand votes. Kufuor conceded and stepped down. Compared to Ghana's neighbors, this democratic transfer of power stands out.
It's comparatively an island of stability in a sea of instability in West Africa.
That's what President Obama says his visit will underscore. Last week, he spoke to All Africa Media, an online news company.
Countries that are governed well, that are stable, where the leadership recognizes that they are accountable to the people and that institutions are stronger than any one person, have a track record of producing results for the people, and we want to highlight that.
Tomorrow, President Obama will give a major speech on development and democracy in the Ghanaian parliament. He's likely to promote the idea that transparency, strong court systems, and regular elections can lead to economic growth.
You're not going to get investment without good governance.
President Obama's visit will be brief. He'll return to the U.S. tomorrow night. But we'll hear more about U.S. relations with Africa later this summer. In August, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton will attend a trade forum in Nairobi, Kenya, and visit several other countries on the continent. I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. That's Business and Financial News this morning. Thank you for tuning in, and have a great Friday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.